Hello, friends, fans, and followers. Matt with Tales on Trails Deer Tracking. We are doing a Tale of the Track with Mark Sanfilippo. Tale of the Track is just Mark telling his story of the track. I tracked for Mark on November 4th, and, you know, it's kind of a fun story. It was a recovery, one of them. We did two tracks for Mark that day. So what we're going to do is just let Mark tell the story, talk about it, and just have fun having a conversation. Mark, how are you, pal?
Good. Thanks, Matt, for having me. How are you?
Oh, man, no problem. I'm great, man. So, Mark, introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself. What do you do? And how long you been hunting? What do you do as a profession and all that fun stuff?
Okay. Yeah, again, my name's Mark. I'm 37 years old. I live in Trenton, Michigan. It's about 20 minutes south of Detroit. I hunt. My family has a property, primarily my uncle. He has a property in Jackson near Blackman Township in Parma that I've hunted with him probably for the last 15 years. I'm a local fireman, paramedic. I'd say hunting's like, besides golf, hunting's like my number one thing to do, you know. I like to shed hunt, you know, pre-plan, scout, everything. So it's like, it always feels like a year-long thing, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My son-in-law is huge into shed hunting, and, you know, he maps his whole year out like that, hunting, shed hunting, turkey hunting, then you know starting into the deer season prep. So yeah, he's big into it. What did you say your profession?
Firefighter, paramedic.
What department? Trenton.
Brownstown Township. It's right next to the Trenton Woodhaven area, if you're familiar. Okay. With
yeah. Well, I am the customer service manager for a fire track manufacturer. So currently, KME and Ferrera, the customer service manager for KME and Ferrera. But I've been with Spartan for 31 years, be 32 in October. So I spent 20 years on the Spartan side, and now I'm, you know, still part of Spartan, but managing the KME and Ferrera customer service. So yeah, I've been on the manufacturing side of the fire industry for 31 years, man. So
that's crazy. We didn't even get to that point of talking. We were too busy talking about deer when I met
you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about deer now, Mark. So you shot your deer. I tracked it on November 4th, so you shot it on November 3rd. I'm going to let you tell the story, but that's right about the time the phone started ringing off the hook, buddy. So let's jump into it. Tell me about your hunt, and you know, let's just chat through it a little bit, bud.
All right. Well, yeah, I was going to start with the fact that I was very impressed when I came across you. I can't remember exactly how it was on one of the tracking pages, I believe. You were one of the first people to call me back, and, you know, we talked about, well, first you kind of asked where I was at, obviously. And it was funny. You end up living like what, 5 minutes on the road. You knew exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're like 4 miles, maybe where you hunt, 4 miles from me. I drive by your hunting camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five times a week.
I was laughing. You're like, yeah, you got the green camp up by the road. Like, yeah. Like, I know where you're, but, so yeah, I either left you a message or you answered. I can't really draw in a blank.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I just remember, like, right off the back, like, I've talked to other trackers. I've tracked one other deer in the past, and it was just kind of like I was bugging them type thing compared to, like, when we started talking, you know, like, of course, it's out with, like, you know, what did the shot sound like? Where do you think you hit? Obviously, you're trying to get all the information. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was kind of cool. You gave me your backstory with Baru, or
yep.
And that, you know, you told me how long you guys been doing it. There's no guarantees. And to me, that means a lot too. Cause I knew like, okay, well, this guy's honest. I know that because, you know, a lot of people would BS or probably lie. I'm sure there are people that do that, but I remember.
There are some, but for the most part, it's pretty solid group, but yeah.
But yeah, it was just, by the time I got off the phone, I was like, man, that was 40 minutes. I'm like, I'm excited to meet you and your dog. And I just had a good, like a really good vibe. And just with everything, with you being so close, you know,
oh, wow.
And you were able to come the next day after you had a track in the morning, I believe.
Yep.
But,
yep. Well, that's cool, man. I didn't realize we spoke for 40 minutes, man. That's cool. That's good. I'm, you know, you get me talking about stuff and it's hard to shut me up sometimes. That's not always a good thing, but that's great, man. Well, thanks for the kind words. I really, I do appreciate that, man. And, you know, that is to me, you know, that's part of the whole thing. Just tracking the deer is just a piece of the whole tracking, the whole picture, I guess. And so, you know, that conversation with the hunter and that engagement there, and that I think really rounds that out, because frankly, you know, 60% of the time, a track does not end with a deer on the tailgate. That's just the national average for on lead tracking. So, you know, it's easy, you know, statistically, most of the time, we're not going to get your deer. Doesn't mean we won't find your deer or jump your deer or whatever, but statistically speaking, it's not going to go on the tailgate. So, you know, just building that relationship and with the hunters, I think is a humongous part of the overall, I'll say, tracking experience, because, you know, there's a pretty good chance that we're not going to recover your deer, and I don't want it all to be bad, you know? So, yeah, no, that's good. So I told you I can talk a lot. So thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No problem. So do you want me to start with our recovery or the other deer?
No, man, start right from the go sequentially, you know?
Okay. So we recovered on the fourth. So I shot the third. Yeah. So on the second, there's an area that's up, that's like a little bit elevated by a river creek bottom. And it's kind of funny. My brother, who I hunt with, he wasn't there, but the last probably week or so, like right before rut, we were having, you know, nice mature bucks around and smaller bucks. And I'm like, hey, we just built a new blind. We didn't have it over there. So there was like a downed tree he was hunting. And I'm like, we're really close, but I kind of felt bad because I shot it, you know, where his camera was, but we were talking. He's like, no, man, I'm not there. You know, if I'm not there, I'd rather see you get it or your son or his nephew at the time. Yeah. So I kind of like, I knew where the camera was. When I'm in the woods, when I started hunting, I was probably like, when I first started sitting with my dad, I was probably like 11. And my dad he doesn't bow hunt, but I'd go with my dad, my grandpa, my uncles, my great uncles. And
sure,
it was, I'm sure you know, and most people probably listening, it was a different time. And my dad would stand leaning against a tree with one glove on. And I was, you know, when I got a little bit older, I'm like, you're nuts. I'm like thinking, how do you do this? Like he'd stand up in a blizzard, but, kind of like I'll hunt out of tents and stuff, but I was kind of trying to get at. So when I hunt in the woods, I kind of just try to like adapt, like whether I'm in a tree line or, like this year, I just found like a shrub pile and broke some branches and actually just took out a 5-gallon bucket, and, you know, flipped it over and plopped a squat. And
I love doing that occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got most of my deer, you know, hunting like that more than probably out of a tree or anything, but I was kind of worried because I was at eye level, but I was kind of, you know, hunched down. And to be honest, the buck that we recovered, that was my biggest buck on that property and my second biggest buck to date.
He's a dandy.
So the so the first day before, or the day before I called you, it was just kind of like, I'm trying to think how to describe it. It was like, it didn't even seem like real. Like, I just saw a rack. He kind of popped out in front of me about 60 yards and kind of just came in like on a string. And sure enough, he came like right by the camera, and I was watching him. And then he kind of did like a, not in front of me, kind of did like a half circle. And when I was using a crossbow this year, so when I raised my bow, he was kind of looking at me head on. And, you know, I gave me the head bob and
yeah,
like stomped. And, you know, I try to be ethical and stuff. And with the gun, I feel a little bit more confident. But he presented with kind of like quartering two or head on shot. So I kind of aimed for the white patch and, you know, let it fly. And I saw him bolt. Yeah. That was about 10 yards towards, I was 10 yards in from big alfalfa or soy field we have, or alfalfa. And I watched him run out. So I was trying to, you know, reload an arrow, crank it.
Yeah.
I knew I hit him because, you know, the whack and everything. And
yeah.
I
saw, yep. That thud. Mm-hmm.
So by the time I got another arrow in, I watched him run out. I kind of I got a little impatient or a little excited. So I kind of tried to move a little bit and get another shot off. And then he kind of beelined it back in the woods where we ended up, you know, tracking down to the river. But yeah, I found my bolt. It's kind of weird. It was snapped in half, like perfectly in half. The broadhead was sheared off, and then there's no blood on it. So I know we'll get to that, but I know when we talked and stuff like that, I was kind of worried that like it bounced off a shoulder or it ended up hitting the brisket or something if he dropped. I didn't really know, but I did find decent blood, and you know, I tracked it for a couple hours, and then the area where I was hunting, it's kind of funny because it's like, we know it's a good area, but my uncle's aunt owned the house, but she passed away and ended up leaving the property to my uncle, her nephew. So
yep.
It's kind of like right up by the farmhouse area. And all these deer, like right across the river, it's like secluded little area, like there's high thickets, there's perfect bedding, they feel comfortable.
Oh, it's a beautiful little creek bottom there. Yeah, sandstone creek. It's really nice.
So I looked a little bit, I marked until my last blood, and then I just backed out because it was too dark. We've never even met the neighbors in 30 some years, you know, that my uncle's been there.
Yeah. So
I went, I waited till the morning. I went knocking on a couple doors, first house or two didn't answer. And then I ended up, it's funny, I ended up meeting a guy. He owned the house next to it. And he was like, oh, I think I saw that deer. He's always like behind the house. So I got a hold of him. And then the neighbor, he was, he's a guy probably in his late 70s, and he was an avid hunter. He's got a huge, beautiful box blind you can see off Springport.
Yeah.
And he was out there burning leaves with his wife. So I was kind of, you know, I kind of crept by and they were looking, and I pulled off on the side and I was walking up and I was kind of like, hey, how you doing? Cause I kind of like looked a little intimidating, but I ended up being like super shy. So we were talking and I told him like what happened, where we were at. And he was like, oh, are you talking about so-and-so's property? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I met one of her great nephews a couple of years ago. I was tracking a deer over there and I didn't even put two and two together. I'm like, oh, what was his name? He's like, Mark. And I'm like, that's my name. I go, that was me. I go, what's your name? He's like, Mark. He goes, I got you saved in the phone.
Oh, cool.
Dave, nephew Mark, let me track or something. So I had a conversation for him for a while. And I still kind of waited until after our first recovery when you ended up coming out with Baru. But So when I shot him, his tail, you know, his tail talked, he hunched up. So like immediately, like, you know, just from some experience, like, and studying and, you know, stuff, I was like kind of worried I hit him in the guts or if liver possibly, kind of, you know, the way he just kind of took off and then stopped, that's why I was kind of leery about it. So I actually didn't even track as far as we did with your dog until the day we tracked it, because, you know, I thick and everything. But yeah, it was about a 35-40 yard shot.
And we're onto the second deer now.
Yep, that was the first, and then second.
So the first one, let's just back up. The first one was November 2nd.
Yeah.
Evening or it was the evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was around like 4:45 and 5 o'clock.
Afternoon. And that one was, how far away was it?
I'd say I ranged it like right before he, you know, took a step in, about 35, 40 yards.
So the first one was 35, 40 yards. He was quartering pretty hard towards you, and you took that frontal.
Yeah.
And that's one that you tracked, and, you know, we'll talk more about that one. And because you brought that one, when you called me on the second deer you shot, the one that we recovered, you mentioned this one because you thought maybe the second deer was the same deer that you shot the day before. You thought it was a possibility just based on the, you know, the rack and stuff.
Yeah, it was a quick look. They, not like I could count the tines, but at, you yeah. know, I know it's a shooter. It's a nice one.
Yeah. So. Well, I was pretty hopeful, you know, because, you know, when you started telling me, when you called me, it was to go after the second one, which, you know, we'll talk more about that one here in a minute. But, you know, you started talking about the first one, and I'm like, yeah, man, you know, it doesn't sound great based on what you described. You know, that frontal shot's really, really a low percentage recovery anyway. And then when you thought, well, maybe this deer is the same one, I was all excited. I'm like, yeah, so that's the first thing when we recovered you know, deer two. That's the first thing I wanted to see, was if there was any shots up in the front end in there, and there wasn't, but. So,
yeah, I honestly, I would have probably been more happy because ethically,
oh yeah,
I hate for that to happen, but it was made me feel better talking to you. You know, you've been hunting longer than me as well, and, you know, tracking and stuff, and more knowledgeable. So when you were explaining things, I'm like, okay, good. It sounds like it wasn't a lethal hit at least, and hopefully it has survived.
Well, I don't think it was a near term lethal. You know, I always want to qualify that. You know, those frontal shots like that, if we'll just spend a few minutes on that shot, and then we will talk about that track because we did track it. Those frontal shots like that, if you get enough penetration to get to something vital, it's often one lung. You know, I don't have, I have tracked probably three or four frontal shots, so not a whole bunch at all, very few in the grand scheme of things. Haven't recovered any of them, but talking to veteran trackers and, you know, some of my mentors and guys in the Michigan Deer Tracking Network, which I'm a member, and then just all of the tracking pages that I follow, and all of very accomplished and renowned trackers that I follow, listen to them talk about frontal shots. You know, that's where, you know, I draw all of that. I draw upon all of that. And, you know, generally, like I said, if you get enough penetration to get to anything vital, it often, I think, is one lung. I did our first year, 2022, I did track a frontal shot for, you know, a dad for a kid I coached in football. And, you know, I, based on feedback from my mentors, you know, I wasn't really excited about taking frontal shots, but your tracks on frontal shots, but it was again, super close to me. Great guy. I want to try to take care of the local. I want to take care of everybody if I can, but it's hard to do. But so I'm like, okay, let's give this a shot, because it was 10 yards away, dead on with a crossbow. I'm like, well, they're pretty accurate. You were pretty close. Let's try it. Well, you know, I won't hijack your tail of the track to turn it into my tail of the track, but, you know, it's relatable to a frontal shot. So that's why I'll talk about it. But you know, we did some resets and stuff. We finally was able to track it. Now, after a while, there's no blood, and I didn't know whether Beru was on it or not as we're going across this wide open cornfield, but we got to a property, but she was tracking, so I was following. We got to the edge of the cornfield, you know, the fence line, got to a property stop. We couldn't go anymore. The dog wanted to cross the property line, but we couldn't. So I'm like, well, shoot, you know, I don't, you know. 2 days later, the hunter called me and says, Matt, I went back and I found the deer alive. So he went back. Yeah, this was like 2 days later. He found the deer alive. He jumped it, ran into the cornfield. So then he went stalking the cornfield to try to get that deer and saw a bed of deer in a cornfield, shot it, and it was a different deer. but the point is, you know, it was a single lung. It had to have been a single lung shot deer that was dead. It may have died or it may not have died. I don't know. You know, you know, they may die in 3 days, 3 weeks, or they might live a normal life. So, you know, those are just, you know, some of the very small experiences I have on frontal shot. But then again, but that aligns with, you know, people who have a lot of experience in what they say about frontal shot. So yeah, is your deer alive? Maybe, you know, or maybe it died 3 weeks later, but I'm confident that it likely wasn't dead when we tracked it. And we'll talk about it when we start talking about the actual track. So go on with your second deer, man. And I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. So it was kind of like deja vu. So I'm kind of sick to my stomach. I'm like, do I want to go back out? You know, should I wait and just go, you know, try to track and not hunt the next day? So I was like, no, I just had a good feeling. So I went back out, same spot on the ground. Sure as heck, like almost same time within 5 minutes, I see a rat come out again. And I'm like, I'm like, please be the same deer.
Yeah.
He was a big deer. And he kind of came in from like a different angle, walked right by my brother's camera. He stopped. And then I actually shot them within a 5-yard radius in the same spot because when I marked the first deer with the broken bull, I marked it. And so I knew there was blood there, and obviously it wasn't fresh, but it was still visible. And, so I took a shot. He was broadside. I shot him on the right side, and, I was going to grunt to stop him, but I was, you know how sometimes you're like, do I grunt? Do I not grunt? I didn't want to spook. So he ended up stopping I was on him for a good 2 seconds and I shot him. I heard the whack. He bucked. And then, I was sitting in the same spot by the field, and there's a gigantic oak tree. I saw him run to it and I couldn't see anything pumping out of him, but he stopped. And I was kind of hoping he was going to start stumbling or whatever, but then he kind of trotted off. He ran and then he trotted, and he probably went another 100, 120 yards to the other side of our property on this main tree line. And all I could see was his rear. He was like looking at the woods 12 o'clock. So I couldn't see his head or anything.
Right.
Felt like, you know, an hour, but by the time I kind of like calm down and look back, it was probably about 3 to 5 minutes. He just stood there. I was just kind of waiting for him to, you know, do the death shake and down. I was like, you know, go down. But last thing I did, I saw him take 2 steps in, and obviously where we ended up finding him, but down an embankment and some thick stuff, which I'm sure you remember that.
Yep.
So again, I'm kind of like, not sick. I mean, it just happened, but I'm like, come on. Like, I was just hoping, I would have seen him go down.
Yeah. Because so that big oak tree that you're talking about is in the middle of that alfalfa field.
Yeah.
That wide open alfalfa field. So you were off the alfalfa field into how far into that wood line were you towards the creek? Off from the alfalfa field?
Probably about 15 yards.
Okay. So you, yeah. So you were, you weren't very deep in there. So you could see clearly across that alfalfa field. The leaves were pretty well down by that point, or, you know, so you could see pretty well. So he stopped at that oak tree too for a minute, you said?
Yeah. Not as long as, you know, the second time, but he stopped and he kind of looked hunched up again, but I mean,
yeah,
I knew I hit him, like I put it right on his shoulder, or like, you know, yep, like crease, and which ended up happening. But I'm pretty confident with that shot. But
yeah,
when I watched where he went, when I went to the shot site, I couldn't even find the bolt. So, you know, then I was kind of like, oh great, did I even hit him? You know, because I use those things, you know, those things shoot like so like quick. So by the time you look up or look through the scope, you don't even know where you hit them.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. What was I going to say? So you saw him stop at the oak tree, then he kind of hunched for a second, then he kind of shuffled off, and you last saw him probably 200 yards across that field going into that the wood line on the other side, right?
Oh, yeah. What? Find the wood line, definitely about 200. Yeah,
yeah. So it's quite a ways across there. So how long did you wait before you got down and tried to find sign?
Like unless I normally, you know, lucky enough to see the deer go down, I try to wait at a minimum an hour.
Yeah,
my adrenaline's going, and I'm like, I want to get up and go. But yeah. Initially, I just kind of went to the shot site, and you know, like I was saying with the arrow. So at first I was kind of confused because it was a lot closer. I didn't think it was as close to the deer I shot previously. So when I had a little bit of blood from both bucks right there. So I was kind of like, wait a minute. And they kind of like the first one and then the second one that we recovered kind of went on the same line towards the field too. So I'm like down on my hands and knees, and I'm like, okay, well that looks brighter. So I'm going to hopefully go with it's fresh. And, I marked a spot, and then I kind of just tried to like scan the area and, like hold back. But I walked the line I thought he was on. So when I got up by that oak tree, I found like probably a quarter size, you know, like quarter size spot of blood. So mm-hmm. I marked that, and then I tried to like, you know, stand there for like another 10 minutes, and I tried to like not move until I could see any blood. And I tracked it probably almost close to the tree line, but I didn't want to go in just in case, going off the hit. But I was kind of reluctant and kind of got down when I, you know, when I saw the lack of blood.
Yeah.
Obviously after talking to you, you know, if you shoot them in the liver or something, their cavity's filling up, they're not spurting like you shot, you know, the harder lungs.
Right.
So I kind of just, I had that disgusting feeling kind of. So I went up to the little cabin by the road and went on Facebook, and I was looking around. And then, like I was saying, I can't remember exactly. Either I found you on a page or on one of the pages that I followed, or someone referred, like, you know, how you guys do it. I'm sure like,
yep,
busy, you know another guy or girl in the area and refer them. But that's when I calmed down kind of, and I talked to you like I was saying, and I just had that good vibe from you, and I wanted to make every effort to recover this deer.
Yeah, you know?
And I just like I was saying before, just knowing how close you were, you know, in the area, you were straight up honest with me, you know, I just felt like, you know, it'd be a good shot and give everything, yeah, give that deer best chance to get recovered, which I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate those kind words, man. That's it's nice to have that validation, and I'm glad that it, you know, lent a little comfort to you. So you called me and we talked through it, and I was feeling pretty good based on what you described. that it was a lethal shot, although nothing's a guarantee. But just based on what you described, anytime you get that hunched up, walked off, standing for a long time, you trackers go, okay, you know, we might have something here. Not always, you know, but those are classic behaviors for a gut or liver or gut liver type hit, you know. So I was like, I was feeling good. And then what, even as far as, you know, the lethality of the shot in time, you know, because when I will tell you this, I think there is in all probability, when you started to track that deer and you stopped just shy of the wood line, that was probably the best decision you made throughout that whole process, because that deer in all likelihood was not dead at that time. You said we were only, you know, let's get, say you were an hour and a half at that point, by the time you'd worked your way that far across, that deer was probably not dead. So by you making the decisions that you did, first of all, waiting a minimum of an hour, perfect. You know, when you didn't find a great sign initially, although you weren't feeling, you felt bad, you didn't panic and just start charging around and tromping all over the place, you know, trying to desperately find that blood. You maintained your goal. Maybe that's just your nature, or, and some of that might be just further solidified by your job. You can't panic in your job. You've got to think rationally and calmly. And you did that. And frankly, I think it was the difference. At least it made and I'm going to be honest with you, dude, it was an incredibly simple track for the dog. In fact, so much so that you did the right thing, and I'm glad you did, and I'm glad we came out. But had you, I think you would have found that deer on your own if you'd went back in there. Now, again, I don't know that, but I just based on what it is. So we'll talk about the track now.
Okay.
So and I'll talk about it from my perspective, and what I'd like you to do is after I talk about, kind of share how it went when I got there and we walked out, how I remember it. I'd like you to kind of share, you know, what are you thinking at the time of the track? What are you thinking when I show up with my dog? And what are you thinking? But let me just talk about the track really quick. So I set it up, and that you managed it very, very well. You know, you knew you needed some help, and you reached out, and we connected. That was awesome. So when I get there, so first of all, I think it was around 1 o'clock before I finally got there, because I had a track that morning.
Yep.
For another local guy, young guy, good kid. And I come to you sort of frustrated, at the situation, not at the other hunter. Don't misunderstand me, because he was a great kid. But I'll just tell you that why I was a little bit frustrated, because so that kid called me too the night before, and very, very similar to what you described. Yeah, I hit the deer here. He went over here and he stood for a minute. Then he kind of walked off. I think he went. I'm like, oh my goodness, yep. Okay, this sounds like another gut liver probability. So I was feeling pretty good about the odds on this track. So we get out there, we go back. So, well, I'm talking to the kid about on the phone you know, property permissions. Yep. Well, if it goes over here, we're good. But if it goes over there, you know, we're not going to be able to track it. I'm like, okay, well, we'll go as far as we can. And, you know, and that will be that if it goes that way. So God dang, if we get to the shot site, I start the dog, 2 minutes later, we're standing at the property line he can't cross. 100% his deer went right to the only place it couldn't go. Well, then I find out why. Because the area where he's not allowed to track, it's a waterfowl guy. And it is this humongous, massive marsh of, you know, 6-7 foot tall cattails and stuff. And it's a nature preserve, because that waterfowl guy does not allow anybody on his land for any reason. You know, so it's a giant, and I'm not kidding when I say 400 acres. It legitimately is 400 acre nature preserve. So that's that deer went there, and 2 minutes into the track, we were standing over the property line we can't cross. I'm like, well, this blows, buddy. Your deer's over there somewhere. Now, we gave it a bet, you know, just in case we restarted and the dog took us different ways and stuff, and we did some things, but you know, he finally got a hold of the property owner and asked if we could, even though he's told him no several times in the past. He says, look, you can go up to the cattails. There's probably 30 or 40 yards between the property boundary and the cattails. He says, but do not go in the cattails. Well, I take the dog back where she wanted to cross the first time. Boom, picks up the line, takes us right to this beat down super highway into the cattails. I'm like, well, it's in there somewhere, buddy, but I can't go. So I was really frustrated that we just couldn't, because I'm certain that deer was dead. I really believe it was. And it's frustrating when we can't recover a probable dead deer. You know, again, no fault of the kids. He did, you know, he tried to get permission. He tried to talk to the guy. We just couldn't do it. You know, and I'm not going to knowingly violate the property lines.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to do that. So that was a bummer. So when I got to you, I was like, I was a little frustrated because, you know, and, but so when we got there, you know, you run me through it. It was, I don't know, 300-400 yard, 500 yard walk maybe.
Yeah.
Or so back to the shot site. And we're talking about both deer at the, you know, in the situation for the first deer that we didn't recover and the second deer, which we did, and how close they were. And the first deer came out into the edge of that field.
Yep.
It headed back, I'll say, towards the road or back towards your cabin, and then looped back into that thick stuff and headed back down towards the creek.
Yep.
So when I start the dog, I try very, very hard to not cross the path of the deer after it was shot to get to the hit site. I always like to start at the hit site whenever practical to do so. So I always ask the hunter, and I don't know, I think I asked you this, are we going to cross the path? And it was kind of like, well, sort of, yes. You know, just the way it was kind of like, and so we got to the line where both deer came out of the woods, and I could see there was on your first deer that we didn't recover there was quite visible trackable blood along there and where it went back in. So I'm like, shoot, I got to keep the dog off from that one. And then you, if I remember right, you did a decent job of marking even the second deer. You had some markers out there in the field, didn't you? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I think I tied like two or three of them. The last one at.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will tell you again, another great, great decision. We'll talk more about your flagging prowess when we start talking about the second track on the first deer. But, you know, you did a great, great job there. Because I'm like, okay, so yeah, we're going to have to cross the path. So I don't want to go 15 yards into the shot site, particularly with two. So if this is the line, we'll just start her here. So I started her there, and it was nothing. I mean, we were across that field with no time. You know, she was tracking along, stone cold tracking. She got to the wood line, to where you said you last saw it. And do you remember she got that wood line? If I remember right, there was kind of like I don't want to say a dirt path, but it looks like, you know, maybe there was more dirt than alfalfa there. Maybe there was some version of a path. And she made that left turn and started to go kind of down the hill and around the bend sort of. I'm like, you know, and I could tell she started acting a little different. And you said that you thought you saw him up here go in. So I'm like, well, let's give it a shot. So we walked back up there and she picked right up on it. And she went through, and then it was kind of thick, if I remember right, yeah. Right there where it went in. It was, you know, we're trying to figure out how to fight our way through, you know, which is normal stuff in the tracking world. fight our way through that stuff, and we get inside there, and I'm still crouched down, you know, I don't know how far into it we were, 10, 15 yards, maybe not even that far. And it went down this ridge, it kind of flattened out into this low spot, and just a little bit beyond that was another little marsh. But in that, I'll call it the hardwoods, before we got to that marshy area, we're going down the hill. I'm crouched down, and I'm fighting off the briars, holding on to the dog who's, you know, 35 feet in front of me. And you go, there he is! Your deer was laying right there, and I didn't see him yet. I'm like, I look up, I go, well, I'll be damned. There it is. Yes, sir. Yeah, and go ahead.
No, that was just crazy. And I remembered, I don't know if you told me in the beginning, but when Baru got close, you're like, oh yeah, it's kind of funny. She doesn't, you know, she loves doing this, but she doesn't like being around the deer when it's dead, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to get the picture. I'm like, can I take a picture with your dog? And she was kind of like pulling back. I'm like, oh, that's okay. She got close enough, obviously, but
yeah, she's a goony bird. She started later on in the season, she started to get a little better about it, Mark, but it's sort of embarrassing. I always warn people about that, because it is kind of embarrassing when you know, because I like to get the picture, the hunters like to get the picture, and I've got to carry the dog. I've actually carried her before to put her by the deer. It's just so weird, you know. And listeners who listen to the podcast regularly will have heard me say this 1,000 times. It's funny how she doesn't want to do that. So, you know, but I do have a good picture here. In fact, you know, I'll pull it up a minute, but what was I going to say? I don't know, man. So as we, you know, and there it was. I mean, it really was a super easy track. The deer wasn't, you know, maybe 60 yards inside that next wood line. And that's where I say, had you pursued it that night at that hour and a half, even 2 hour mark, I don't believe your deer would have been dead. And you would have bumped him into the who knows where, probably that next cattail marsh that you could see from where he fell. And I'm not saying we wouldn't have recovered him, but anytime you jump a deer, your odds of recovery decrease. And you remember, you're only starting out with a 40% chance, generally speaking, of recovery anyway. You know, and then when you jump him, you start chipping away at that 40%. You're muted, buddy. Here's something. I'm not sure. No. I just unmuted you. Still nothing? No, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Okay. Bear with us, folks. Mark is working through some technical glitch to get his audio working again. His microphone. Nope. You want to click out and click back in, Mark? If you want to exit the studio and then click on that link again to see if it brings you back in with audio, you can try that. So while Mark works out that his technical difficulty, I'll share a picture of his deer for those on the for those watching, I'll show you the track line. Well, that's a second deer. Mark is back. Let me just see. Let me stop sharing this. There you go, bud.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right, man. Things happen. That's why I call it, it's an amateur podcast, and it comes with all the amateur snafus. So, but ain't no thing, man. Not a problem at all. So, yeah, what I was saying is, you know, once you jump that deer, you know, the way I say it, whether this is statistically right or not, I mean, it just is a very general, you start chipping away at that 40% every time you jump the deer. So you absolutely did the right thing. And, it was a lot of fun. So tell us what you were thinking. You were following along behind when we were on, you know, on the track, a relatively short track. And we'll talk about the second one here in a minute, but, you know, it will go quick because we got about 15 minutes here. But what were you thinking on the one you recovered?
Well, I kind of felt bad because I know you guys were tracking hard on that last one. When you guys showed up, you looked tired and sweaty. So I was kind of like, hey, drive down there. And you're like, no, we'll walk. And
yeah, no, it was no problem.
You guys were getting ready. And I was just pretty impressed. Your dog was the second tracker I've used in, well, ever, but it was just crazy to see her like work, and I know we talked about it, and I was under the assumption they were going off blood when it's their tarsal glands, right?
Interdigital. There's really a whole that tracker's called the scent cocktail, so interdigital, blood if it's there, all kinds of things, but she's trained on interdigital. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, like you said, like how you try not to cross her with, you know, both deer and stuff. And then like you said, it happened so quick, and just, you know, like I knew like where the deer ran in at, but just to see her kind of like go to the second spot of blood and then just like beeline it to the woods.
Yeah, she kind of did.
I was just like, oh my God, that's crazy. Then I started feeling good about it. And then I was impressed with both of you, but I don't know. It was such a short track. There's not really much.
Yeah, I know. It went fast, but it was funny because you're the second one. I think the earlier in the week I did a track that we recovered in Michigan Center, and the hunter actually saw the deer before I did. I was watching the dog. She's working left of the deer. I think she's in the scent pool. She was working to the right of the deer, actually, along the edge of the swamp. So I'm watching her in this little pond. So I'm watching her pretty intently. And all of a sudden, the hunter goes, "There he is!" and starts to take off over there. I go, "Hold on!" I give him the old mom, you know, stop short. If he could, you know, picture the Seinfeld episode when they stop short. Yeah. But like, hold on, we got to let her. I want her to find it, you know, because she was, and then she did. I suspect the deer went to the edge of that pond and then walked over there. That, you know, that 40 yards and croaked, lay down in its final bed and croaked, but. It was just like, oh man, Mark saw the deer before I did, just like Matt did, you know, earlier in the week. It was funny, but so yeah, it was a really nice deer, man. That's for sure.
Thank you.
And let before we talk about your other one, we got just you know, a few minutes left. Let me for our viewers at home, or for our let me see here, screen snipping tool. Yeah, that's what I want to show you. Wow. There's Mark's deer, friends, with Baru, you know, so it's kind of a dandy, you know. I would never turn that one down, you know, so congratulations, man. That was really, did you get any mounted, or what are you doing with it?
Yeah, I did a shoulder mount. The guy I go to, he's local. It takes about a year, so I mean, it's worth
it. Oh yeah. Yep.
No rush. I have him forever. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. So that was fun. So we found your deer. We found that one. And like I said, we're about 10 minutes, Mark. So I want to talk about the second track, but you know, we get this deer up out of that low spot and everything. Then you ask, hey, well, can we at least try to track that other deer? I'm like, well, sure. Yeah. Yeah, we can try it. And, you know, I think I reinforced again. I said, I think the odds of recovery are low, but if I'm here, let's give it a shot. So, so, So we did. And, you know, we talk about things you did right. And I mentioned how you flagged the trail of the deer we recovered. You did an even better job of flagging the trail of the deer we didn't recover, that frontal shot deer. And so, you know, again, I knew we were at the 30-some hour mark, which really, really in the right scenting conditions isn't that big of a deal as far as age goes. But, you know, I just wasn't sure. You know, we're still pretty green at this whole tracking thing, and she's still a pretty young dog. But holy crap, when we put her on that one, Mark, it was game over. I mean, she locked on that track, and I don't know, with the exception of some very small circles, if you will, I don't think she ever got off the track. Yeah, there you go. Yep. I don't think she ever got off because she just stone cold tracked that thing. And you had flagged it very, very well along the way. And I could see some blood occasionally, but by that time, a lot of that blood wasn't visible anymore. But I knew we were on by your flagging. And then we got to a point where you had lost blood.
Hey, Matt, I don't know if you can hear me. I lost you again.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go out and come back in again.
Do the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. While Mark's doing that, I am going to... screen share again. I want to show you so for those viewing on YouTube or Facebook, you know, here's Mark's track line, and when I say stone cold tracking, I mean that's it, 100% Mark's back. How's that, buddy? Can you hear? No? Yeah, Mark is struggling with some technical glitches on his end. No. But while Mark works that out, I'll just continue to talk about this track line. You know, he did perfectly, probably right in here for those watching at home, roughly halfway through the track line. Can you hear me, bud? Nope, can't hear you. Not sure what's up with the audio.
Oh, wait, now?
There it is.
Sorry, I'm really sorry about this.
No, that's all right. You're back now. But so I was just telling about halfway through, Mark. I'm not sure if your mic is working, but you know, it was where you lost the flag, and then we just tracked all the way to the road, and then by the time we got to the road, you know, it was like, well, you know, I don't think the deer is dead right now. Plus, it crossed the road into more of a swampy marsh, and we didn't have permission to be there. So, you know, did the deer die? I don't know. It may have, but was it dead at the time? I don't think so. Or if it was, it hadn't been dead for long, and it was on dead on a property we couldn't access. So, yeah. So, you know, that was a track, man. I mean, you did things very well both times. So,
thank you.
Yeah. And trackers love that when you mark the hit site, you mark the trail, you don't push the deer, you make the right decisions. You know, it makes our job easier because we're already coming in a bad situation and starting off you know, with low odds anyway. So, you know, I was glad I was able to help you with the one, and glad I was able to confirm that at least the deer, the first one, was not dead on the property you had permission to be on. So, you know, I guess we can call that a successful track in the terms of the dog work, you know, and confirmation that the deer wasn't dead within your scope of ability to retrieve. So that was fun stuff, man.
Yeah, it was a good way to meet you. Hopefully I'll never need you again for that, but I mean, I'd like to keep in touch, obviously. Oh. But yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I was very impressed with both your, you know, your work ethic, and I knew you guys were tired, and then got the second track for the first deer, you guys, that was even harder, because I remember she was pulling you, and she knocked you down.
Yeah, I did fall down once, at least once.
But
yeah, that's pretty normal.
But yeah, mm-hmm. I was definitely, you know, I had a better peace of mind too, you know, tracking and talking to you for the original deer, and knowing that, you know, it's not like he probably ran across the street and died. So hopefully he made it, or somebody else harvested him.
But yeah, yeah. Who knows? Maybe you get him next year. So for sure. Well, good deal, Mark. We're running down to about 4 minutes here, and you know, as we wrap it up, buddy. What any final comments? Any final questions? Anything you know you want to mention before we wrap it up here, pal?
Yeah, like I was saying, I'm sure most people here already that follow you already, you know, have used you for help or anything, but I definitely highly recommend you. And you did help my soon-to-be brother-in-law, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I meant to bring that up.
But he, same thing, him and my girlfriend's dad, they, you know, they were with you, and they were same thing. They're like, man, they worked their butt off, you know, so... It's kind of,
I appreciate that. Yeah, his deer I know wasn't dead, because he'd already tracked it, I don't know how many hundreds of yards before I did, and yeah. We picked up about halfway into where he did, and you know, the dog kept taking us back to this one spot to a cornfield that wasn't picked when he was tracking the deer, and it was, they picked it that day, and I don't think his deer was dead. I'm certain it wasn't. So, but yeah, that he was a great guy too. So I appreciate that reference, man. That was a good track. The dog did good work, and we just didn't end with a deer on a tailgate.
Yeah. Like you said, it happens. I mean,
yep.
One of the lucky, yep. Stories, but I've been, yep, on the other end too. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, good deal, man. Mark, thanks for coming on. It was a lot of fun, and we'll certainly stay in touch whether you need my services or not. You're 4 miles away. I want to see pictures of your deer. I want to stop by when I see your trucks there, and I want to see the deer that you shoot. I want to share your stories. I want to see your sheds, and you know, that's just, yeah, we'll just stay in touch for sure, man, because you know, like you said, I hope you never need me again either. But if you do, you know, I'll certainly be glad to help you out, brother.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I'm gonna sign off here, but I want you to hang on with me here. So, guys, yeah, thanks for listening. Be sure to go to Tales on Trails Deer Tracking on Facebook and YouTube if you want to watch the video of this. This will be uploaded to all the standard audio podcast platforms. So just search Tales on Trails Deer Tracking there, and you can find all of the things I've uploaded there. So Mark, again, man, thanks for coming on. It was great. It was a great track. It was a great fun conversation. You know, we'll talk soon, pal. Thanks for coming on, man.
Of course. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, man. More of the good, less of the bad. Talk to you later, guys.